This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines, and we begin here in Washington, where President Obama met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in a much friendlier exchange than one that occurred here in the nation's capital just a few months ago. This time, still and television photographers were allowed into the Oval Office for brief comments from both the president and prime minister, and they even took a few questions. That's a marked change from back in March when the president met the prime minister without any media coverage whatsoever, and the two had a very frosty exchange during that meeting as well. This time, with the cameras rolling, it was all smiles and effusive praise for each other throughout the brief comments, and substantive issues were also addressed, although it's unclear whether any progress has been made on any of these issues. First of all, the president talking about the unbreakable bond between our two nations.
The bond between the United States and Israel is unbreakable. It encompasses our national security interests, our strategic interests, but most importantly, the bond of two democracies who share a common set of values and whose people have grown closer and closer as time goes on.
One of the biggest controversies involving Israel, of course, in recent weeks was its interdiction of that flotilla led from Turkey, which included a ship full of folks very hostile to Israel and put up a fight against commandos storming the ship. The president says, though, he's very pleased with the way that Israel has allowed increased aid into Gaza.
We discussed the issue of Gaza, and I commended Prime Minister Netanyahu on the progress that's been made in allowing more goods into Gaza. We've seen real progress on the ground. I think it's been acknowledged that it has moved more quickly and more effectively than many people anticipated.
Another huge issue looming on the horizon, of course, is Iran and its nuclear program, which is believed to be specifically targeting Israel once it comes online, given statements made by Iranian President Ahmadinejad and others that Israel needs to be wiped off the map. We don't know exactly when the Israeli nuclear program might reach fruition. Some estimates have it as a little bit less than a year. Others say perhaps more than 5 years before they have a deliverable nuclear weapon. Today, the president outlined the latest steps, which he considers tough steps, to deter those Iranian ambitions.
We discussed the issue of Iran, and we pointed out that as a consequence of some hard work internationally, we have instituted through the UN Security Council the toughest sanctions ever directed at an Iranian government. In addition, last week I signed our own set of sanctions coming out of the United States Congress, as robust as any that we've ever seen.
For more analysis of the meeting between President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu, please listen to my interview with KT McFarland, a Pentagon official during the Reagan administration. She's now at the Fox News Channel. That interview can be found at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. Also today, an Army intelligence analyst has been charged in connection with the leak of a controversial video of a U.S. helicopter strike and the transfer of more than 50 classified State Department cables. According to the Washington Post report, PFC Bradley Manning was detained in Kuwait in May after WikiLeaks, a whistleblower website, released the video, which it called collateral murder. The footage taken by cameras on U.S. Apache helicopters showed several civilians, including two Reuters news agency employees, being killed in a U.S. strike in July 2007. Manning faces two charges under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The first entails four counts of violating Army regulations by transferring classified information to his personal computer and also adding unauthorized software to a classified computer system. The second comprises eight counts of violating federal laws governing the handling of classified information. As for the U.S. policy in Iraq, it's on schedule, according to Vice President Joe Biden. In an exclusive interview with NBC News, the vice president, who was in Iraq over the 4th of July weekend, says that things are exactly where we want them to be, heading into a major transition in our policy there come August. The vice president says the major drawdown to about 50,000 troops is already well underway.
What people don't realize is we're drawing down to 50,000 combat troops are remaining. They're not going to, that's not their primary mission, but these guys are still able to shoot straight, the same guys and women that were here. But we've already drawn down a significant portion of that 95,000.
The vice president also says that the commanding generals in Iraq have every confidence that this is the right plan at the right time.
Hundreds of tons of equipment has already left Iraq. So this is not like on August we go, boom, we've now gone down from 145,000 down to 50,000. It's well underway, and it's working. And General Ordierno, who is one of the bright stars in our military, is absolutely confident. There's no concern about getting down to 50,000.
So have we achieved success in Iraq? And if so, why have we achieved success? For answers to those questions, please check out my interview with retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash, also a Fox News military analyst. That's at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. Captain Nash will also discuss the challenging road ahead in Afghanistan and what changes, specifically related to the rules of engagement, the new commanding general there, David Petraeus, ought to make to give the U.S. the best chance for a clear victory. One other note today on the national security front, the federal government has filed a lawsuit challenging Arizona's new immigration policy, claiming the quote-unquote invalid law interferes with federal immigration responsibilities and must be struck down. The Justice Department accuses the state of trying to, quote, second-guess, unquote, the federal government. It also says that the law must be struck down. The state of Arizona and Governor Jan Brewer are the defendants now in this case, and in a written statement, Attorney General Eric Holder says, quote, Arizonans are understandably frustrated with illegal immigration, and the federal government has a responsibility to comprehensively address those concerns. But he says diverting federal resources away from dangerous aliens such as terrorism suspects and aliens with criminal records will impact the entire country's safety. He says setting immigration policy and enforcing immigration laws is a national responsibility. Seeking to address the issue through a patchwork of state laws will only create more problems than it solves. However, plenty of fierce reaction from members of Congress, including Democratic Congressman Harry Mitchell, says, quote unquote, this is the wrong way to go. 20 House Republicans wrote a letter to Holder in protest of the decision. Republican Senators John McCain and John Kyle of Arizona called the suit premature, saying, quote, the Obama administration has not done everything it can to protect the people of Arizona from the violence and crime illegal immigration brings to our state. Until it does, they say, the federal government should not be suing Arizona on the grounds that immigration enforcement is solely a federal responsibility. Also today at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org, my conversation with Grover Norquist, president of Americans for Tax Reform, about his group's concern about the president breaking his pledge not to raise taxes of any kind on American families making less than $250,000 per year. They're out with a new card, which shows that the president has broken that promise. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.